I walked in here this morning and this afternoon and was looking at all the decorations, and all I can say is if the Reigns of Castamere stop playing, I am out of here, because I know how that ends. And those that laughed, I know, are the heathens in this place now. I asked my daughter this morning, I said, what kind of knight would you like to be? And she said, I don't know, do we have to dress up? And I said, no, I just want to know what kind of knight you would like to be. And she said, well, I guess a good one. And I said, that's the wrong answer. It's Jedi Knight. Always Jedi Knight. You didn't know that, right? So for those in the Bible study this week's session, the answer is always Jedi Knight. As they said, I have been a part of this camp since the beginning. I was, I believe, 3 years old when this camp started, and had a camp girlfriend every year until I got married. And I married my camp girlfriend, one of them. Some people come looking for Jesus. I came looking for love. But like Jason said, you know, sometimes you don't have an expectation of the encounter of the Lord, and you're not always looking for it, but God knows how to encounter us in this place, and he will meet you, like Jason said, right where you are. I want to read a scripture, because I want to jump in tonight, because I don't want to wear you out. Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, and I want to read this story just a little bit, just to set the ground. So excuse having to read a little bit. There was a man named Cornelius who lived in Caesarea, captain of the Italian guard stationed there. He was a thoroughly good man and had led everyone in his house to live worshipfully before God. Was always helping people in need and had the habit of prayer. One day about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. An angel of God, as real as his next door neighbor, came in and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared hard, wondering if he was seeing things. Then he said, what do you want, sir? The angel said, your prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. Here's what you are to do. Send your men to Joppa to get Simon, the one everyone calls Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is down by the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two servants and one particular devout soldier from the guard. He went over with them in great detail everything that had just happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as the three travelers were approaching the town, Peter went out into the balcony to pray. It was about noon. Peter got hungry and started thinking about lunch. I've been there. While lunch was being prepared, he fell into a deep trance. I've been there too. You ever been so hungry you fall into a deep trance? You're not hungry. You're not yourself when you're hungry. That's why you need a Snickers. While lunch was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the skies open up, something that looked like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at its four corners, settled on the ground. Every kind of animal and reptile and bird you could think of was on it. And a voice came, go to Peter, kill and eat it. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, I've never so much as tasted food that was not kosher. He's never been to a Brazilian steakhouse. The voice came the second time. If God says, it's okay, it's okay. This happened three times, and when the blanket was pulled back up into the sky, as Peter puzzled, sat there trying to figure out what all it meant, the men sent by Cornelius showed up at Simon's front door. They called in asking if there was a Simon here, also called Peter, saying there, Peter, lost in thought, didn't hear them. So the Spirit whispered to him, three men are knocking at the door looking for you. Get down there and go with them. Don't ask any questions. I sent them to get you. Peter went down and said to the men, I think I'm the man you're looking for. What's up? And he said, Captain Cornelius, a God-fearing man, well known for his fair play, asked any Jew in this part of the country, was commanded by the holy angel to get you and bring you into his house so he could hear what you have to say. Peter invited them in and made them feel at home. The next morning, he got up and went with them. Some of his friends from Joppa went along. A day later, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had his relatives and close friends waiting with him. The minute Peter came through the door, Cornelius was up on his feet greeting him, and then down on his face worshiping him. Peter pulled him up and said, "None of that. I'm a man and only a man, no different from you." Talking over things, they went into the house where Cornelius introduced Peter to everyone who had come. Peter addressed them, "You know, I'm sure that it is highly irregular. Jews just don't do this, visit and relax with people of another race. But God has just shown me that no race is better than any other. So the minute I was sent for, I came, no questions asked. But now I'd like to show you why, I'd like to know why you sent for me." Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this time in mid-afternoon, I was home praying. Suddenly there was a man right in front of me, flooding the room with light. He said, Cornelius, your daily prayer and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. I want you to send to Joppa to get Simon, the one they call Peter, saying he's staying with Simon the tanner down by the sea. So I did it. I sent for you, and you've been good enough to come. And now we're all here in God's presence, ready to listen to whatever the master puts on your heart to tell us. Peter fairly exploded with his good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God pays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do so, do as he says. The door is open. The message he sent to the children of Israel that through Jesus Christ, everything is being put together again. Well, he's doing it everywhere among everyone. You know the story of what happened in Judea, and it began in Galilee after John preached a totally life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him, and we saw it. We saw it all, everything he did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, where they killed him, hung him from a cross. But in 3 days, God had him up alive and out where he could be seen. Not everyone saw him. He wasn't put on public display. Witnesses he has carefully handpicked by God beforehand, us. We were the ones there to eat and drink with him after he came back from the dead. He commissioned us to announce this in public, to bear solemn witness that he is in fact the one whom God destined as judge of the living and dead. But we're not alone in this. Our witnesses that he is the means to forgiveness of sin is backed up by the witnesses of all the prophets. No sooner were these words of Peter out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came on the listeners. The believing Jews had come with Peter couldn't believe it, couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on outsiders, non-Jews, but there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues, heard them praising God. And then Peter said, "Do I hear any objection to baptizing these friends with water?" They received the Holy Spirit exactly as we did. Hearing no objections, he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay for a few days. The next chapter goes on, and Peter goes back amongst the believing Jews, and he's having to explain this whole account of how these Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. During this time, the culture was different. You were Jewish people that were they had the right to it first. And they thought they would always just have the right to it, and no one else would ever have the right to access God the way they could access God. But here it was, God was changing something in this moment. Peter starts preaching to this people. And I love it because all Peter does is just talks about Jesus in his encounter and his experience with what Jesus did. And in the middle of talking about his relationship with Jesus, the things he saw, talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in the middle of that, this house of Cornelius, who they have no expectation of anything other than just to hear what Peter has to say, the Holy Spirit falls on them in that moment. This week, you're going to hear a lot about the Holy Spirit. There is an emphasis here on the Holy Spirit in an encounter with Jesus, just being able to come into the presence of God and allowing God to, sometimes he's going to wreck you. I mean, you're going to be up here. There are going to be times, I'm going to warn you, there are going to be times you're going to be up here sobbing your eyes out and not knowing why. And God just rearranging your life in a whole nother way. Even if you've experienced God before, there is just an atmosphere here that it just is an incredible atmosphere in which God does something. But this is the thing I want you to realize. And here's what I want for any speaker this week, anyone that ends up speaking this week. Just talk about Jesus. To put the focus on Jesus. I used to go, thank goodness this camp is not like that, but I used to go to other youth camps and stuff because I was a preacher's kid growing up. And so I'd have to go to all kinds of youth services and things like that and be around a lot of different types of atmospheres. And seemed like every time I was in a youth service, they would get somebody who had a life of, we'll just call it adventure. An adventure outside of Jesus, you know, and they would talk about how they, you know, they used to do drugs and they did all these things. And there's nothing wrong with a testimony. I don't have no problem with that. But it would seem like that was what was always presented to us, was somebody that had wrecked their whole life and then at the end of it came to Jesus. But their story made their, you know, sounded like before Jesus came into their life was a lot more fun than after Jesus came into their life. You know, and by the time they're done, I'm like, no wonder there's nobody at the altar. You didn't present Jesus as something that is worth more than what you had, or that this is a life worth living. I will say this, I don't have no background story of a life outside of Christ. I have pretty much lived my whole life within my identity of who Christ is. And there is not one single regret to that. I've also lived some life inside of that and enjoyed this life of Christ. I have no regrets of being a Christian my whole life. I have no regrets of living for Christ because it has not robbed me, has not taken anything away from me. I've enjoyed myself. I've had a good time. I've got good friends. I've been able to do things that a lot of people would dream about. I've traveled to different places. I've been different places. And it's because God has opened doors and he has opened avenues of opportunities for me that probably would not have been open to me had it not been for God just giving me those opportunities. It's been a good life. One I do not regret, one I would not change. I have a good wife. I have two wonderful, well, they're good kids. Aspen, she's good. Marina, you gotta watch out for her. You don't know if she's gonna hug you or kick you, but you know. Still a good kid. I wouldn't trade her for anything. I love her to death. The thing is, though, you know, everybody says, I wouldn't trade my kids for anything. It's because you can't. Walmart won't let you have a TV for one of them. I tried. No. But this life of Christ is worth every bit of living that I have had the opportunity to live, and I am still looking forward to quite a lot more adventures in my life of Christ. But like Jason was saying, I have been in this youth camp and had unexpected encounters with the Lord. Not expect. I remember specifically one year. I grew up in ministry. I grew up as a preacher's kid, and excuse me, got a little dry. I saw, you know, growing up in ministry, you see the good, bad, and the ugly sometimes. In this one particular year, my parents had a house, and I could tell you the details. It wouldn't make any sense to you, really, but we lost that house because of ministry. And I remember knowing, and I was young at this time, I was probably one of my first years of camp, so I was probably 12, 13. And I knew I had a call of God on my life. I knew I was called to be a ministry of some point or another. I wanted to be a famous rapper, but, I tried, but it didn't, you know. I did good. I did fine with it. I didn't become famous with it. We didn't have TikTok is the problem. If we'd had TikTok, I'd have been nailing it right now. I'd have been an influencer for sure. It was the wrong generation, so, you know, whatever. But I knew I had a calling. I knew I had a calling of God in my life. But watching my parents go through what they went through in that, and it was just in this particular moment, I was angry at God. I was really bitter. I remember coming to camp, and I'm like, I'm bitter with God. I'm like, I coming here for a camp girlfriend and nothing else. I want to check out the pretty girls and, you know, hang out with some friends. I've made some great friends that are lifelong friends through this camp as well. But I was really just bitter at God this one particular year. And, you know, anybody that's ever been here, those of you that's been here, you've experienced what happens at these altars. I would purposely stay away from it, because I knew God was dealing with me, and I was mad, but I was mad at God. And I'm like, I'm not going to surrender to you, because I just refuse. I'm just mad at you right now. But God is so good. Like, he keeps working, you know. And so I think the last night, I think I came up and gave like a cursory cry just to kind of appease God. And also it looked good in front of the girls, because they would want to hug me and stuff. Not to give anybody any ideas, okay? We don't, no physical contact. We're not promoting that. I'm just saying what I used to do. And so I gave my little cry, got some hugs, and then we went to the campfire, but I really still hadn't let God deal with me yet, because I was mad. I was just upset at God. We got home that night, you know, after the campfire, and saying goodbye to everybody that was leaving, everything that goes on at the campfire like that. And that's right. I mean, we roasted marshmallows. That's what I meant. That's all I meant, okay? Just a campfire, and there was marshmallows. That's it, okay? But I went home. I got home. I got in my bed, and God was still there, kind of bugging me. And so I just got mad finally, and I was like, all right, you want to talk? Let's talk. And I started just laying out everything that I was mad about and upset about. And kind of, you know, also growing up in ministry, everybody kind of wants to compare you to, you know, your parents and to different ones, and there's that pressure to be just like them. Or, and, you know, and I was also telling God, you know, and even if I was to go into ministry, I don't want to be like that. I have my own personality. I have my own kind of, you know, way of doing things that's just, you know, unique in me. And if I can't be me, I don't want this. And after I'd went on this big, long rant, I felt that nagging of God leave. And I thought, ha ha, I won. And I went to lay my head on my pillow, and I heard the Lord speak in my ear very plainly and say, that's all I've ever wanted from you. And nothing has ever broke me like just those little words. And I remember being broken, and I've had where I gave a cursory cry at the altar of camp. I was sobbing in my bed as God was healing me and making changes in my life and rearranging stuff. And I've had encounters like that throughout camps and different places, but this one was the one that set me on a path that really began to, I began to find my place. But it was an unexpected encounter because I did not want God. I did not want to talk to him at that moment. Now, later on, I saw God rearrange and just bless my parents and totally change that situation. And so my anger in that moment was just for a moment and not being able to see what God was going to do. He was getting them out of one thing to bless them even bigger, because that's just what God does. He's never going to get you settled for less. He's always going to give you more. That's what he's looking to do. And here's the thing, what I love about the Holy Spirit is every time the Holy Spirit shows up, it changes the world, it changes cultures, and it changes us. What happened here in this story, when Peter begins to talk about Jesus, Peter has no, he really does not expect these Gentiles to get anything. He doesn't even know why he's here, other than he's just obeying what God asked him to do. But he doesn't have an expectation that God's going to show up in this place and do something amazing with these people. The house of Cornelius has no expectation of God doing something completely incredible in their lives. They just know that this angel showed up and said, send for Peter, who's over here in this house over by the seashore, and bring him here and hear what he has to say. And in the middle of them hearing the good news, the Holy Spirit shows up, and it wrecks them all, basically. It's wrecking Peter and everyone that's with him and all the Jews that are with him, because they're going, how is this possible? But these are Gentiles, and God is giving them the same thing he's given us. The house of Cornelius is sitting there going, man, this is amazing. God is just, I mean, we're being trained. Because every time the Holy Spirit shows up, it brings heaven to earth. Every night that you're here and the presence of the Holy Spirit is at this altar, it is heaven coming to earth. There are a lot of people that are waiting to die to get to heaven one day. You don't have to die to get to heaven. Heaven is available in this room for you this week. You're able to get this heaven and take it home with you and bring heaven into your home. There are some, you know, I'm like Jason, it was said, you know, me and Jason are brothers. That's why I keep bringing him up, for those who don't know. And what's that? Me and Jason are brothers, so we had the same parents. And I think we did anyway. Jason's a little bit, no, just kidding. He might have been adopted, I'm not positive. Other than, the only thing that really makes it clear is that Marina is just like him. I escaped living with Jason only to have Marina come later on and live with Jason all over again. Ain't that something? Yeah. I rebuke that. Now, the nice thing is, though, is living with Jason for so long, I've learned how to deal with Marina. She doesn't bother me like she bothers a lot of other people. Like, she just, me and her get along just fine. Like, okay, whatever. Now you made me, oh, me and Jason, we come from the same parents. And we've kind of experienced the same things throughout life, you know, and having, but even living in the same house, we had different experiences of God and different ways that God encountered, and even how our past at times were different, but have always somehow come. But like, I know I was going with that. We had a good home. We had a good home. My parents were good parents. Always treated us well. We saw them treat other people well as well, which made us want to treat people good. But I knew people who don't, but I know there's some in this room here that don't have, maybe not have. The kingdom of God is this. And the scripture says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and it's joy located in the Holy Ghost, right? So the heaven that God wants to give you, or the kingdom of heaven that God wants you to experience this week, is something that you're able, like I said, to not just get for yourself, but also to take into your home, that homes that are messed up, you're able to take this kingdom of heaven home with you. And where there might not be any peace, you can bring some peace home. Where there might not be any joy, you can bring some joy home. Where there might not be some right things happening, you can bring some right things home and change the atmosphere, because what you receive of the power of the Holy Spirit is what is able to transform cultures. It's able to transform homes. It's able to bring heaven to earth. Even in the most dire of situations, God is able to He's able to just transform your home and everything about it. You become the peace. You become the joy that begins to affect people around you. Again, it's about bringing heaven. You know, when I was a kid, they used to put a lot of emphasis on speaking in tongues with the Holy Spirit. You know, I never really knew much more of the Holy Spirit than you. That's your prayer language. You speak in tongues, right? But the Holy Spirit is way more than that. It is what... How many has ever heard the scripture? There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The word condemnation is a building term. If a building is condemned, it is unsafe to live in. It's unfit. They have to tear that down. You can't live there. I dated a girl one time, and her apartment building that she lived in got condemned, and she had to move out of the house because it was unsafe to live there. She couldn't live there no more. But in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. So you are not a condemned building. Matter of fact, you are the building, the very inhabitation that God comes and lives in. You ever heard the scripture said, you know, in the book of Revelation where it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and old earth had passed away? You know, in the Jewish culture, heaven and earth, where their understanding of heaven and earth was not heaven up there and earth here, but where heaven and earth met was their Jewish temple. And when John is writing in the book of Revelation, says, I saw the old heaven and old earth pass away, he was talking about that Jewish system was passing away. And the new heaven and the new earth that was coming on the scene is you. You are the new heaven and the new earth. You're the place where God takes up his abode. You're the place God takes up his residence. You're the place God dwells. You're the place that whenever everywhere you go, everyone you encounter, they encounter heaven on earth. They encounter Christ. They encounter something that's able to change cultures. We can look and say the world is bad, it's horrible, there's all this stuff going on, but I'm telling you what, right now, there's enough heaven and earth in this place to change the whole world. To change the culture. As we move through this week, as we are able to have these opportunities and encounters with the Holy Spirit, I tell you, don't hold back. Don't hold back from an encounter. Do not hold back from God being able. I tell you, even from tonight on, I implore you, please take an opportunity and say, God, I just want the Holy Spirit to have an opportunity to transform my life. I want a piece of heaven in my life. I want to take some heaven home to my family. I want to take some heaven home to my community. I want to take some heaven home to where it might not seem like there's any heaven at all. I want to transform my life and allow God just to bring heaven on earth. Amen? So I want to ask the worship team to come up tonight. This was my assignment tonight, is to set the stage for an opportunity for even from this night on, you to encounter heaven on earth, to encounter this Holy Spirit that's able to transform and change everything. You may have come in here tonight with some things on your mind about maybe what's going on at home, what it's going to be like when I get back home, what's this, you know, or this situation. Social media sometimes can be a pressure for us of when I turn on my phone or I turn on my Facebook or TikTok or Instagram, whatever it is, what am I going to deal with on there? Am I going to have to argue with somebody? Am I going to have to deal with that mess? And I just say tonight, just put that all that aside and come for an opportunity to encounter the Holy Spirit, not putting your mind on those things, and watch God transform some atmospheres. Watch God fight your battles for you. Because it's about getting some heaven inside of you. We don't have to wait till we die to encounter the goodness of heaven. We can encounter the goodness of heaven right tonight, and the rest of this week. You have an opportunity to have heaven on earth. So I encourage you, as this worship team begins to sing and play, to come to these altars tonight and just have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. If you would like us to pray for you, there are counselors and ministers in this house that will gladly pray with you. If you just want to have an encounter without anybody, in a moment without anybody knowing, you do that. I just want to encourage you to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit tonight and give you opportunity to allow God to bring heaven to your earth. So I wish they would just, maybe we could dim those lights a little bit, give some people an opportunity just to encounter the Holy Spirit without eyes on them. And again, I just invite you up here.
See heaven invading this place.